Sometimes we have a guest on and the topic is obvious. Other times, the nine topics are obvious. Either way, find our buddy doing his thing for 24/7 sports, does his recruiting updates in the Register Guard, follow on Twitter. And actually, I heard Joey Mack describe it better than I ever have. Preem MR 247. Matt Preem joins us. Maddie, what's up?
Not much, guys. How you doing? Busy day? Fun day?
Nah.
So this is radio gold for you. You don't have to do anything.
It's been amazing. My lifelong dream of having my work done for me has come to fruition. But consider the news about Willie Taggart really got serious just a week ago. Then there was a basketball game. Then there was Monday. Then the hiring today. At what level would you describe the insanity covering Duck basketball and football the past week for you?
Probably Monday when I woke up and then thought it was Wednesday. I legitimately wrote something and was referencing it being Tuesday the night before and looked at it and was like, that just doesn't seem right. And I looked at it and was like, oh yeah, today I have to coach basketball practice for my first grade son. That means it's Monday. It's not Wednesday. We don't have practice on Wednesday.
Wow. All right. You win. From what you've observed, heard, the folks you've spoken with, how overwhelming was the support to, bump Chris the ball rather than go back outside the program and see if there was another candidate?
Yeah, I went to Autzen today when they had the team meeting and we rounded up a couple of players to speak. Brady Breeze described it as a big party when they announced that he was the head coach. Shane Lemieux, a sophomore starting, I think, right guard for the Ducks, said that he and Tyrell Crosby, and then he later corrected me, also George Moore, a sophomore offensive lineman, came up with the idea to do the petition, and they just wrote up just his accomplishments as a coach and why they felt like he should be the head coach. And Lemieux said they presented it to the team, asked everyone on the team to read it, and within 30 minutes they had 70 signatures on the petition to make him the head coach. So I think internally this was who they wanted, and that's kind of what the players said, that they wanted to have a voice this time around of who was going to be hired as head coach, and it was very clear if you follow any player on social media who they wanted.
Yeah, I've seen those takes, and it seemed a few weeks back the preference for a bowl might be the Cactus, because even though it kind of tag-teamed with Christmas, with this new early recruiting period, time was of the essence. So going with Cristobal right now, how do you think this impacts maybe holding together what's been deemed this great class?
Well, we've already seen three guys come out and say that they are reaffirming they're 100% in. With the Ducks, guys that I think two of which were probably guys you could understand if they were going to look around, and that would be Justin Johnson, an offensive lineman from Pennsylvania, and then Jamal Elliott, a four-star running back from South Carolina. Both those guys are on the East Coast. Both those guys, while Johnson was kind of heavily recruited by Cristobal, you could understand if, hey, maybe I want to go play, a little bit closer to home, or at least look. I'm closer to playing closer to home. Both those guys, within minutes of that stuff coming out today, came in and said, I'm done. I'm good. This solves any kind of concerns I had. Elijah Winston, a linebacker who's the younger brother of Lamar Winston, right, from Portland, he said the same thing. I know multiple recruits are already on campus tonight. I'm told that some of them were actually in the meeting when they announced Cristobal as the head coach. So those guys are probably going to be fired up and emotional about it too, and reaffirm their commitments as well. If they were here before the announcement, I would think they're good to go.
Now, I know there's so many names, but for those among us who are not wired into recruiting, the incoming class credited to Taggart and his staff, who are some of the guys that you're pretty sure are gone who have maybe come out and said, he's gone, so am I?
Well, Isaiah Bolden has already decommitted. He was one of the top six commits for this recruiting class and a guy that is from Florida. He said he's still going to consider the Ducks, but let's be realistic. He probably committed to Oregon because of Taggart and the Florida connection. And now that he could play for Florida State, because he had a Florida State offer already, that's probably on the table. I would think Warren Thompson and Malcolm Lamar, two more four-stars, from California, from Florida. Thompson's a receiver. Lamar is a defensive end and a guy probably Oregon was expecting to start next season as a freshman. I wouldn't be surprised if they both decommit and go to Florida State with Taggart. They've been pretty quiet. They haven't really talked to anybody about this. They've said, you know, when things finally settle down, then they'll evaluate the situation. Maybe Oregon, because Crystal Ball is also from Florida, maybe Oregon can get in and get their, you know, their coaches back in those homes and convince these guys, hey, the Florida connection is still strong. We still need you guys, you know, and kind of thwart that. But it wouldn't surprise me if they leave. And then Treshawn Harrison, a four-star guy from Seattle, he decommitted on Saturday because he couldn't get a direct answer from Taggart of what he was doing. And then today he landed a scholarship offer from Florida State. So I wouldn't be surprised, too, if he goes across the country.
Now, I forgot where I read it and kind of along the lines of what you said. Let's face it, right now, regardless of how commonplace this kind of thing is, among this fan base, Willie Taggart's credibility is shot. Is it true that we're hearing after what he pulled this past week to get guys verbals to Oregon, now he's kind of following up with those guys to get him to follow him diagonally back to Florida?
Yeah, and I don't think this is commonplace in general in college football. I mean, I know coaching changes here are very strange and very unique and quite frankly confusing for Duck fans because we haven't really, as a media entity, covered that all that much. And now we're doing 2 and 2 years. But head coaches leaving 1 year as a head coach, leaving 1 year after just getting somewhere else is pretty rare. I can only think of Todd Graham and Lane Kiffin that come to mind, and both those guys, they left scorched earths when they left their previous locations. And I think it's safe to say that, you know, Taggart's probably not going to be well received if he ever returns into Eugene because of how things have shaken out and what has happened. But yeah, he's going after some of the guys that he had committed here, and I think that's kind of expected. I think some of them will listen. I think the farther west you go, he probably will have a more difficult time in convincing guys to listen to him and to buy into what he's selling.
You know, I saw when the Duck basketball program signed Bol Bol as one of the biggest recruits in history. I saw some of the stuff you wrote. So
right.
On that day, I texted you and said, here's my prediction. Before he even reaches campus, Willie Taggart will be one and done. How nuts would you have thought I was?
Pretty crazy. I mean, I didn't think it was realistic that he was going to leave until Florida State opened. Because, look, I get why he left. I understand why he left. I have no problem why he left. Because I would do it in the same instance. If I went across the country and took a job covering Florida football, it would be awesome. It would be a huge step up in my profile. But if I got to go and cover the Blazers 1 year later, it would elevate my profile even more, and I'd be closer to home. And I get the reason why he did it. I don't agree with how it transpired and how it played out. And I think that's kind of what makes a lot of Oregon fans and a lot of people kind of upset, because he himself even admitted, which I was surprised he did, that he lied. He lied on Friday, and he lied on Monday or on Sunday at the bowl announcement that he was not contacted by Florida State. And I was surprised he said that, because now he just gave ammunition to Florida and Miami, the two other Power Five schools in the state, of going into a recruit's home and saying, "Hey, look, you know, this coach says one thing," and he's even on record now saying that he's lied about certain stuff. How can you trust that? So. Kind of surprising he did that, but yeah, it's crazy times. I never would have thought we would be here.
Yeah, no, the method is just criminally insane. Talking Oregon football and a little men's basketball with Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. And I get this is a process, and maybe we'll see what happens after the bowl game, which, oh my God, is in 8 days.
Yeah.
what are you?
Oh, that.
Yeah, the game they're going to play. What are you hearing about what Cristobal wants to do as far as keeping this staff together, some, all, most, or as a head coach, is there just that tendency to want some of your own people?
I think it'll be a little bit of both. I think Cristobal will put his stamp on this program in his own way, and we've already seen the impact of that. We've been told from the media that he's going to potentially allow freshmen to talk this season when that was something that Taggart did not do. So there's a chance we might be hearing from some freshmen tomorrow at practice. I think there's guys he wants. I know I've been told that Joe Salavea, that the associate head coach, D-line coach, Marcus Arroyo, the co-offensive coordinator, who I assume is going to have a job title change to just the offensive coordinator, and Michael Johnson, a receivers coach. I've heard those guys are pretty firm on staying here if Cristobal will want them, and I have no reason to believe he won't. Keith Hayward, a critical safety and also a really good recruiter, he probably is going to try to get that defensive coordinator job. Is he qualified for it? That's going to be a tough decision for this coaching staff. I think he's going to be one down the road. Is it now? That's a good question. Charles Clark, the cornerbacks coach, he came over with Leavitt. I know he really likes Eugene, but he's also from Florida. He's got ties to Florida. I could see Taggart trying to poach him. And then you go to the guys that could go with Taggart, and you look at Raymond Woody, the outside linebackers and special teams coach, as well as Dante Pimpleton. They've been with him at every stop.
Yep.
From Western Kentucky to South Florida. And so I'm a big believer in what has history shown you and what are trends. History has shown us Taggart brings people with him, and he's really loyal to the guys that have been with him from the start. I would expect both those guys probably to go to Florida State.
Yeah, Hayward's really interesting because, I mean, we've known him since a player, then a coach at OSU, Washington, USC, here. I mean, he's very Pac-12-y, if that makes sense.
I mean, he's a wanted guy all of a sudden. He's got a lot of leverage because Jonathan Smith wants him at Oregon State, and that might be a way for him to get that. You know, maybe he becomes a co-defensive coordinator with Bray with the Beavers, or maybe he just gets the pull of the heartstrings and saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to come back home and I'm going to coach for the team I played for at Oregon State and help Jonathan Smith turn things around. Or maybe Oregon throws him the D job, or maybe they up the money, or Florida State does the same thing, or maybe another school in the region is going to need a D coordinator or a defensive back coach and can pay him more money too. I mean, he's shown he's willing to move if the right fit is found.
All right, final thought on basketball. They had the they had the nice start, but let's face it, we look back now, they didn't beat anybody. They fell to UConn, whose best win is Oregon. They looked awful against Oklahoma, the buzzer beater a week ago. So I know you follow it. I maybe not so closely this week, but be it youth needing time to recover from all they lost from the Final Four team, what are you seeing that is a little concerning with this team right now?
I think we're so used to these, I don't want to call them rebuilds, but reloads, because every year under Dana Altman, it seems like they struggle in November. They win ugly in November and gets a little prettier in December. By February, though, everything's figured out. And, you know, they're probably, whether they're not maybe ranked in the top 25, they're probably one of the best 25 teams in the country at that moment. This team is struggling, and a big reason why is because all the previous teams, while they have three or four new guys every year that are critical pieces, they always have four or five role players who have been within the team for a year or two. And that's kind of that foundation of, you know, defensive rotations or offensive sets and communication. They kind of know what's expected in practice, what's expected in games. And this year they don't have that. That's the one unique thing. They've got so many new freshmen, so many new grad transfers, so many guys that came off red shirts last year that were hurt and couldn't practice. There's one guy that played on last year's team regular minutes, more than 3 or 4 minutes a game. That's Peyton Pritchard. Everybody else is basically green.
Yep.
And this is a team who's literally having to figure out how to play together and understand a very complicated defensive set that Altman has, because it's very good, but it's also very complicated in terms of communication and rotations and such. And you're basically got one guy to lean upon, and he's a guy who's played about 44 games in his career at Oregon. Not very much. I think the talent is there, the individual talent is there for this team to be pretty good. But the problem is, instead of it being in early January, it might be February when this team clicks, and your concern is, are they going to have too many blemishes before the prior to that point where it clicks that keeps them out of the tournament. I mean, they don't have a chance now to claim a real signature non-conference win because of the way they played in the PK 80, and that's killer for their seeds. And I don't know what to make of the Pac-12 because we've seen Arizona struggle. UCLA, I think, is way overrated. I think USC is overrated as well. But Washington knocks off Kansas. Arizona State is undefeated, I think, still. I quite honestly can't tell you if I've paid too much attention to Arizona State basketball, but I'm focused on Oregon football and then Oregon basketball. But they've got some nice wins. It's like upside-down world right now. Oregon and Arizona, UCLA aren't very good, and Washington State and Arizona State and are teams that are winning games. That just doesn't make sense to me right now.
Yeah, it's up is down and all that. And for the record, ASU is unbeaten, and they play St. John's tonight, so we'll keep an eye on that.
Okay.
Hey, Matt, I know you got 8 million things going on, not to mention watching your almost 3-year-old. we really appreciate you finding some time for us today, my friend.
Absolutely, no good.
It means a lot, and we'll catch up soon. Have a good one.
Sounds
pal.
Good. I'll see you at basketball, right?
I'm iffy. I tweaked an ankle. I'm a 50-50. Game time decision. All right.
See ya.
Take it easy.